It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network, and we're originating from Jethro in beautiful downtown Granville, Michigan. Barbecue Bob, turkey day's behind us. Got another few days of deer season here, and I think this could be the tip-off for what it is you want to do with that fresh venison that I know you're going to get.
I think that's an absolutely great idea. I went up again Wednesday, and I'm going back up again next weekend.
Okay, so you're gonna muzzle load. Okay,
I have a really nice muzzle load.
Yeah, I used to have one of those too. So, but you know what? When push comes to shove, I wanted the grill more than I wanted the
there
muzzle
you go.
Loader. So
that was a good deal for both of us.
Yes,
then.
It was.
I'm gonna finally get to shoot it.
Yeah, well, good. Sight it in, because I think I might have only shot it three or four times.
And how did it go?
Well, I wouldn't guarantee that you're using the same powder and the same bullets and stuff, so I'd run a few through it
to
make sure.
That's a good idea.
Because if it's been sitting in your safe for a few years, you know, it needs to be lubed and all that other stuff. And I'm talking about the barrel now.
I take it out every year.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, all my guns get a cleaning once a year.
Yep.
If I've used them or not.
Yep. But, you know, you got to get it. You got to get that barrel seasoned a little bit. And then she'll dial in.
We have a house full of grandkids and kids and future in-laws and in-laws. And it's a joyous place right now, let me tell you.
Well,
it's been a week, and we're always sad to see them go.
Yeah, well, you know, you're always so gracious to have Lisa and I out to spend some time with the kids. We just really treasure that. And Wednesday night was no exception. We ate some good food and then maybe crawled our way down to a little place that used to be called a Dirty Shame. We'll just leave it at that.
We still call it the Shame.
That's right. And
and Thanksgiving night, I'm always DD, so
right.
It's awful.
Yeah. it's awfully good to see you sit there and sweat while everybody else is having a good time.
You have to see how stupid you look after you've been drinking. it doesn't have to make sense. But
right. Well, that's what you do at home on the deck, right? And then you get the big stogie out, and you get a little pour a little bourbon, and when you get home, you just have one of those for a nightcap.
That's
perfect.
Yeah. Well, I made some good progress finally on my grilled area. Being alone, you know, I've got this 22-foot beam I laminated for the cross member, and I could not put it up.
Oh, come on, man. That thing had to weigh a couple hundred pounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just getting it out there was a chore.
But the horses are home.
Yes.
So Bob's sons are both over 6 foot, probably a lot over 6 foot.
6'4", yeah.
Yeah. And
very strong.
And very strong, right.
And so one of them happened to just bought a house, and he had all my drills.
Oh.
So I'm dealing with my hammer drill and an old corded drill until I got them back. It was really nice having them back.
Yeah.
You forget how much you use like that impact drill. What do you
call
that?
No, I know what you're talking about.
You know, it's just
they'll bury a screw like nothing.
Yeah. When I was at Home Depot buying them, I'm asking the clerk, you know, his opinion on these things, and this dude was there, this other dad, and he says, "That's the one you want right there." And I said, "Well, I buy DeWalt all the time, so that's perfect." He goes, "No, but here's the thing: once you have that." And it's not an impact, but it's like an impact.
Right.
It works like an impact drill.
And they're a little stub nose on it.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, once you use this, you'll never pick the other one up again.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know about that. Was he right?
Oh, yeah.
Snap in bits, and you're always driving screws.
Right.
And having that impact sensation on it, like a mini hammer drill, is in a built-in clutch, and it's just beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about, and Mama's got that on her Christmas list for me because I don't own one. I just got the regular one that you break your wrist once she bites.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't even have one with a clutch?
What? No.
Oh.
No.
Well, the one, if you get the Duo.
DeWalt. Well, that's what's on the list.
The DeWalt Duo Pack. Even the drill will have a clutch so you can adjust your
tension.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I got a big hammer drill, and that will break your wrist if you don't have the handle on it.
Right.
It's because it's a half inch, and it's
holy cow. Yep.
It'll take you for a run.
So a couple things this week with Thanksgiving that came down the line. I spatchcocked a turkey. Turned out fabulous. My turkey or Thanksgiving dinner was shrunk due to some COVID in the family. We just didn't want to expose everybody. So we had four people is all, and I did a little 12-pounder.
Was anybody actually sick or they just tested positive?
Nobody at our place tested positive, but yes, mild stuffiness, but there were two
like
positive
what you and
tests.
I had when we had COVID.
Right. There were two positive tests in the family as a husband and wife. So we just decided, you know what, and we'll just do this another time. There's other weekends we can get together and eat.
Yeah, what kills me is how so many people treat this thing like it's the end of the world.
Oh, yeah. It's you know what? Some
people get extremely sick and they wait too long. And they, like when I got it, I was taking Z-Packs before I got it. And I think that made the symptoms very mild.
Yep.
Now, my sense of taste is still not what it should be.
I got no smell,
which
dude.
Which affects me on cooking.
Right. The taste would suck to not have. I can't smell, and I haven't since January when I had the COVID. So it's really weird. I get a whiff of things every once in a while, but it's not back.
Well, you know what? My son who had it, what he's been doing is, and he researched this, he's very much a fitness buff, all of them are, but he's in his Men's Health magazine or whatever, he found an article that said to get things with extreme smells, and don't put bury your nose in black pepper. I learned that.
No, but I could get this, but here's one for you, because Thanksgiving, I cook with a lot of garlic. You know that.
Me too.
And I opened the jar of liquid minced garlic.
Love
that
it.
Thing should knock your socks off.
Yeah.
I could barely smell the garlic.
Well, keep smelling it.
Yeah, I guess
you're
that's it.
You're training your olfactory senses is what I understand.
Wow.
And I use like cologne, perfume, anything that's got a very strong odor, mint.
Right.
My spices, I'm trying to get that. And it's coming back. The good news is it does come back. But you actually have to push the envelope.
So here's a weird one. And this is a head scratcher for me. I was dicing onions to put in chili.
Mm-hmm.
I made about a chili. My eyes were watering and burning like they normally do with the onion. I couldn't smell the onion, but it still bothered my eyes. So I was like, that's kind of weird.
Well, no, but it's because it's your eye is picking up the whatever it is that makes them water. Your eyes not affected by your olfactory.
But usually you can smell an onion, right?
I mean, yeah.
And I couldn't, but I knew what I was doing because it was bothering me. So
now you have a dog, so
right. You
have dog droppings in the back.
Should
pick one up.
Unless Lisa doesn't pick them up.
You should pick one up. Yeah. And right when you get it to your face, you'll go, what the
hell? Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't think so. That's a walk-by. No, but I wanted to do, you know, this is the time to be thankful. This is the time of giving. And I just want to tell you, I got a tremendous amount of satisfaction. I had a buddy call me up, and their family Thanksgiving is today on a Saturday, right after the Thanksgiving.
Lots of them are.
Yep, and they get together just because everybody goes to their family, and then, you know, you get all. He asked me to how to cook a brisket because he was at the beer and barbecue thing we did at Gravel Bottom a month ago.
Sure.
And we served those little Vienna rolls with horseradish and brisket on them. Simple little, you know, three-ingredient deal. But he's like, oh, my God, those were the best things. And we had a little au jus on them, so, you know, they were tasty. And so I went over to Sobey Meats. And because he wanted me to do him a brisket, and I said, "Well, I'm not cooking on Saturday. I'm doing it for Thursday." So, no! You know, he wouldn't take it. And I'm like, "I'll cook you a brisket. It's not a lot of work, right? The smoker does all the work."
Yeah.
No, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not making you do that. But I went and got one, right? And I didn't tell him. And then right after this show is done, it's out in the car, and I'm going to go deliver it with horseradish sauce and the Vienna rolls to his family party. They're going to eat at 2, and I'm going to show up about 1:45 with this big old cooked brisket for him. And you know what? That feels really good to me.
Yeah.
It feels really good. Just do something special for somebody. That's all I'm saying. And you know what? I'm not charging him for it. I mean, he's a coworker. He's a great dude, and I just want to make him and his family, you know, happy.
That's so funny because I did the same thing when I went to deer camp.
Yeah.
I smoked a brisket. I cut it down the middle, and I brought it to my friend Joe, who came to my rescue when I trashed my Jeep up there.
Oh, yeah.
I brought it over there, and his wife was just smiling.
Joe the Stump Man. Yeah. All right. All right. Coming up next, Barbecue Bob's got some tasty deer treats for you. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoe's now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoe's as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
It's the second week of deer camp. I got a swollen head. I'm lying with the dust balls underneath my bed. An icy breeze is blowing in through the tongue and groove. My pants are frozen to the floor and I'm too sick to move. It's the second week of deer camp and all the guys are here. We drink, play cards and shoot the bull, but never shoot no deer. The only time we...
Back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We were talking during the break that Barbecue Bob has got to go fill that tag up north and get him some venison for the freezer. And you know what? We got a couple venison recipes this segment that we might want to share with you. So, Bob, it's all yours.
Yeah, it's so funny because Wednesday night we saw, of course, a lot of our kids' friends, and my niece's husband was asking, you know, he said, man, we got stumped up north. We're not getting anything. And I said, yeah, I got stumped too.
Yeah.
But skunked, I guess, is what he said.
Right.
But he said the same thing. But when I was bow hunting, all the bucks were coming around me out of range. When I'm rifle hunting, all the doe are coming around me in range.
Right.
You know, I could pop them off so easily with a bow or a gun, but I don't have a doe permit. I think when it comes to the bow season coming back, mm-hmm. I think I'm going to be up there with a bow and a muzzleloader.
Ooh, there you go.
I wonder if you can do that. I wish.
Bow season opens back up, and so does muzzleloaders.
I know.
I
wonder if you can.
Why?
Seems like it should be an op. Because if a doe comes within range, you want to take it with your bow. But if you see a buck in 150 yards downrange, you got your muzzleloader.
Well, that
seems pretty smart.
You don't want to scare the other ones away when you shoot the doe with a muzzleloader?
I don't think you can shoot a doe. I don't think you're allowed to shoot a doe with a muzzleloader unless you have a doe permit.
I'm not
so
an authority on that.
Anymore.
I don't know that either. But it seems to me that if you have a doe permit, it doesn't matter what.
I don't have a doe permit.
Oh, well, then there you go.
I could probably get a landowner's permit, though.
Yeah. So
that's right. a good thought.
Yep.
So speaking of dough, they're so tasty.
Right.
Now, my friend Greg Brown from, let's say, Smyrna, gave me this recipe. And I met his buddy at the we went to a party at his house last winter. And I met his buddy. And he goes, yeah, you did that tasty deer treats recipe, don't you? I go, yeah. He goes, that's mine.
Oh,
I said, you mean Greg's been getting the credit all these years? He goes, yeah, pot liquor takes credit for everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sorry, I can't remember
his friend's
name.
But this is a good one.
It's wonderful, and it's on the Grillin' Guys website. If you haven't been to our website, go to thegrillinguys.com, and in the top right corner, you'll see a search bar, and just click in deer or tasty deer treats or venison or anything like that. You can find over 200 recipes on this site. And then below that, you're going to see, or maybe it's at the bottom of our new page now,
mm-hmm.
You'll see a spot to sign up for our podcast. If you don't get the podcast, I'm telling you, podcasting is huge, and I listen to them all the time. I hardly ever turn on the TV anymore.
Right.
I want to get my news. I got certain guys I go to, aggregates and whatever, and I just let them tell me what's going on.
Right.
Because then I can do it while I'm driving.
Yeah.
So anyway, tasty deer treats. This is cool. Now, if you know what a backstrap is, that's actually the loin, right?
Mm-hmm.
On a deer, it's this most beautiful lean piece of meat you could ask for.
Runs right along the backbone on either side. There's two of them.
Yep. And if you don't know how to butterfly, I suggest checking out a video on how to butterfly a loin, because pork loin, beef loin, anything, it's really nice to be able to fillet that thing open and then stuff it.
Right.
And you can make your butterfly, and there's several ways. You can cut it down the center and then go towards each side and make a V cut. And that's the one I like the best, because then it's all together in the center. And
what's all together? All your
filling? Whatever you're stuffing.
Right. Yeah.
Otherwise, if you make a pinwheel out of it, then you've got a small amount all the way around it. And either one will work. But this one's going to tell you to put in apples, jalapeno, and cream cheese, I believe.
Nothing wrong with that combination.
I didn't even pull up the recipe, but I'm going to be trying it out again here, because the apple jalapeno is fantastic. And then when you actually, it calls for another type of cheese. And you'll have to go to thegrillingguys.com and punch in tasty deer treats.
Yep.
So there's a cheese that goes in there. But I don't believe it's cream cheese, and I'm sorry. I should have pulled it up before I did this.
Well, a little Borzen would go in there good.
You could do a lot of things, but I believe this calls for Havarti. And anyway,
gonna have a party with Havarti.
Anyway, the combination of apple and jalapeno is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then you wrap the thing in bacon.
Yeah.
And you take away all the health benefits, but it tastes so good. Oh, and then you just put it on the grill. Direct grill, low heat, takes about probably 40 minutes to get that bacon crisp all the way around. Keep rolling it. And, of course, take a couple toothpicks and pin it in. But you just keep turning it over. And you want that center to be 130 max.
Right.
And it is going to blow your mind, the taste combinations that come out of this thing. I mean, it's just fabulous.
Yeah, awesome. I've got a derivative of that. If you don't have venison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what I want you to do is buy some kielbasas or sausages, mm-hmm. whatever you want, links of sausages,
Italian.
Italian sausage would be great. Spicy Italian would be even better. Okay, and I'm going to have you cut them in like 3/4 inch lengths, right? Then I take a slice of thick bacon and wrap around the outside, and the bacon sticks up about maybe 1/4 inch above the length of the sausage. Creates a little cup on top, right? And I'm going to stick a toothpick through that bacon. I only want to go once around, okay? And then I'm going to make a combination of a diced jalapeno, some honey, cream cheese, and cheddar cheese, and mix that together.
And put a little dollop in there?
Yeah, put a little dollop on top of that. Now, these are smoked. They're not grilled. And they're going to set right on in.
Be like a crown.
Yeah, exactly. And with that cream cheese, the cheddar cheese firms it up. The honey and the jalapeno, again, the sweet and the heat, is amazing. Now, I set these things just so that I don't have to try to get them to sit on my grates.
Right.
I'll sit them on a cookie sheet, right,
or in the smoker. Or a smoker tray.
Yeah, either way, yep. And but just set them up so and you got that dollop of the mixture in top. And, I'm smoking 250, 275. You'll tell when the bacon's done, right? But generally an hour, hour and a half. And, oh, man. Are these good?
With bacon, you're going to go that low?
I am. It gets done. It gets done. It just takes a while. And I want to make sure that sausage is cooked through. I buy raw sausages. I don't buy cooked sausage when I do this.
Sobey's got some nice Italian.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet and hot.
Yeah.
Both versions.
Exactly. Yep. And he sells sausages. So that's cool.
You're so weird.
But anyway, so that's just a nice little treat. These are the fun things that you can do during the holidays when people come over. So, we're all good.
Play around on your grill.
Yeah, right. You aren't going to hurt anything. I guarantee it. So, you know what? You botched that recipe up I just gave you. You got $8 into it.
And,
right? I mean, come on.
And you're going to eat it no matter what.
Right.
I wonder what the top looks like when you're done smoking it.
It's
brain salad.
Yeah, maybe. Yep, a little bit. I mean, depends if you put the cheddar cheese, because that's what firms it up. If it was just the cream cheese, it kind of ooze all over.
Oh.
But the cheddar kind of glues it all together. And so anyway, just a lot of fun. Something to do. No big deal. It's something to eat. But coming up next, are we going to be talking to Mr. Sobey himself?
We are.
We're going to dial up the Polish Prince of Meat, and we're going to have a little conversation about what you can put on your holiday table. So stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we hope you guys had a wonderful Turkey Day holiday and are gearing up for the next season. That's the reason. But at the end of the day, there's always some good eating this time of year, right, Bob?
That's right. And as I'm writing this show plan, I'm thinking about, you know, what do guys still need to know about their deer if they're shooting one? And I'm just thinking how to cut one up properly, because there's still a lot of hunting left. And like for me, I'm going to go up as much as I can, because I don't know, life's slipping by and I just want to hunt.
Right.
And my wife's got trips planned, so I know I can go.
Green card.
So I called up our buddy Tim Sobey the other night, and we chatted about it, and he volunteered to take one for the team. How are you, Timmy?
Doing excellent. Good to hear you guys today.
Yeah, good to hear you, too. So I got another question. Have you ever tried canning venison?
Me personally, no, but my brother did years back and used my aunt's recipe and put a piece of beef suet in each jar. And he told me, he said, when he warmed it up and put it over noodles, and he always calls me Meat. That's his nickname to me. But he says, Meat, that stuff, he said, I like that better than canned beef.
Yeah. So I'm going to get a deer. I'm going to field dress it, and I'm going to drag it back to camp. And I'm thinking about cutting it up at camp. What's your opinion on that?
So my opinion, first thing, of course, you want to do is get the hide peeled. If you get that hide peeled when it's warm, it'll come off there. It's like skinning a cat.
Right.
But
can you say that?
Oh, you can't say that. But
Here comes the hate mail again.
It's really easy when it's warm like
yes,
that.
Yes, I agree.
Hang it head down overnight. Let it bleed out really good. So then the next morning, you're ready to actually put it into parts and pieces, right?
Yep, right.
So for those, if let's say you're not a huge venison eater as far as steak, as far as roasts, if all you did was take the back straps, which if you were filleting a fish, put your knife next to that spine and run, you know, from north to south or south to north, and then go off to the side and pull that back strap out of their hole on either side of the deer.
Yeah.
Cut that into some nice medallions. Then if you took out of the back legs, so on a pig they call that the ham of the hog.
Yep.
But those back legs, and if you were to take and stake that out, you know, take bigger chunks, cut that into steaks, cut it cross grain. And if the only other thing you do is you want to make sausages or ground venison,
right,
bone the rest of it out. It doesn't have to be pretty. It's going to get ground up anyways.
Do you just grind that or double grind it?
We always double grind.
Okay.
So Tim, talk to me about that, what I call silver skin. I was going to ask, how meticulous do you have to be to get that off of there or not?
Some guys are, you have to get it all off. Well, in my opinion, no, you don't. So the thicker stuff, you know, along on that backstrap, you could peel a little bit of that. But in my opinion, no, it doesn't have to. It'll cook down anyways.
Right.
And there's flavor in there. So I guess if you're going to try to remove anything that resembles venison flavor, why are you getting a deer anyway?
Yeah, just go shoot a cow. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Don't tempt me. I haven't tasted many parts of a cow, maybe other than liver, that I don't like. So.
Tim, I used to hunt with a fellow up in Cedar Springs, and he used to bring one of his employees along, who will remain unnamed, but this dude was famous for shooting a horse.
What?
I don't know how bad your eyes have to be. Yeah, he got in a world of trouble.
Wow.
Yeah,
he did.
Paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of frown on that at the Kentucky Derby. They don't like kicking them horses. Also.
I heard you got to lead them, though.
Kentucky Derby, now I'm thinking about bourbon.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Bourbon and Scottish eggs, what could go wrong with that?
Yeah, neither. Not a thing. Hey, Tim, I haven't talked to you since you hooked me up with two whole prime ribs. And tell us how you prepared those for me, because they were ready to cook when I picked them up.
Yep. And those are the standing, which means it's on the bone. So what we'll do is we'll cut that ribeye off the bone, season it underneath, and then tie it back on and season on the outside. So those bones act as a rack, which is an insulator. So you still get flavor from it when you cook it. But then when you go to carve it, just cut the strings, the ribeye falls off, and then you can carve that boneless ribeye easier. The other thing that does for you is the thickness of the bones is about 3/4 of an inch. So when you slow roast them, you'll get more of that eye of that ribeye will come out how you want it. Let's say medium rare.
Right.
So if you cook it on the bone, your outside 3/4 of an inch on the bottom of that has been taken care of by the bones. So more of that ribeye is that medium rare or medium or rare, however you like that. So that's the extra benefit.
And he does not lie. That's exactly what I did. Is I put them on the smoker and I put the bone side down, and then just cooked it to the about 120 internal temperature, and it was beautiful.
See, like when I do those for my church event, and I don't think I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to force them to learn.
Yeah,
we feed 400 people for one thing, 400 guys.
Right,
and by the end of the night, I'm like
you can't breathe.
Vegetable.
You have your head in the smoker all
so,
night.
So what I do is you always separate them for me, but I pull those ribs out and I cut them into singles and I season them with the Tim's blend and I smoke them separate so they have a tasty treat before dinner. And
sure.
They love that.
Oh, yeah.
They love that. It's not like a, full beef rib that was, if you're cutting beef ribs for somebody, you're going to leave more meat on there, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And what meat is that you're leaving on?
That actually comes off from the rib bone. So on a pig, that would be like your baby back ribs.
Right, but on a cow, what is it?
It's the beef short ribs.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Tim, go ahead.
Real quickly, our Christmas party, we'll do them as standing. Then when people are done, the rib bones are dessert. So people are, I won't tell you where a Christmas party is, but we get done and people are walking around with rib bones look like Fred Flintstone gnawing on something. So that's a succulent dessert.
Right. So Tim, if somebody wanted a standing rib roast like that, how much notice do they need to give you?
I think I have enough to get me all the way through New Year's, but things are kind of crazy. And so we would encourage them, give us a call sooner than later. And here it is, Thanksgiving time, and we were all out of fresh turkeys until I got a few in today.
Well, I got to put my order in then.
Turkeys.
Yeah, we get one from you every year for Christmas, and I'm going to have to get a head count and order more.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think I over-ordered ribeyes for Christmas.
Yeah.
But I've been wrong before, and I'll be wrong again. So, give us a call. Don't wait till Christmas Eve. But,
right.
Yeah. And they'll keep. Don't worry about that. They'll keep. They'll hold as long enough. You get them a week or two in advance. You'll be all right.
I've got a word of advice for anybody that wants one. Order more than you want.
Yeah.
And then slice off a couple nice big steaks for yourself and seal those up and put them in the freezer. Because come February, you're going to be jonesing for some more.
Right.
And you might not be able to get out in a snowstorm. And it'll be awful nice to throw those on the fire.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, I know that you're a local legend on Jethro, but if people don't know where Sobey Meats is, give us a clue there.
And I'm sorry, what was that?
I said pretty much everybody knows you on Jethro, but for those listeners that are on other stations, how do they find Sobey Meats?
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker.
That's right.
We're here waiting for you.
Yeah, and you got to go there. You're looking at 80 feet of meat case, and there's nothing duplicated in
now,
there, man.
If
it's amazing.
If you haven't been there, I'll tell you what, even in your old store, the first time I walked in, I just said, oh, my gosh, there's something different about this place.
Right.
You can just feel the love of all the patrons who go there. I mean, it's just the happiest place you'd ever want to shop.
Yep, exactly. Hey, Tim.
Thank you. And that's a huge compliment to our whole team.
It is.
And we have the best staff of anywhere in the universe and beyond.
Buddy.
And we have the best customers. And it's incredible.
We're out of time, pal. Thanks so much for taking time for us. And Tim Sobey, Sobey Meats, we'll be back at you soon.
Okay. Bag of bucks. See ya.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Satisfaction's been our name since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
It's the second week of Deer Camp, and all the guys are here. We drink, play cards, and shoot the bull, but never shoot no deer.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. You know, I could talk to Tim Sobey for hours. Often I do.
Yes.
And the guy's just a wealth of knowledge.
I always feel guilty when I catch him in his office and he tells me to sit down and we start talking because I know he's busy.
Right.
But my gosh, he's so funny for one thing. I know I'm going to hear a joke.
Right. Oh, every time. Yeah. And then he'll finish with, well, you can't say that. Right.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, my mom used to can venison. And she did it different than I'm going to tell you to do it here, but I know you can can it in a regular canner, especially if you thoroughly cook it and use curing salts. But the more I research it, the more I want to make sure people don't get any contaminants in their jars. So I'm going to go against my grain, and I'm going to go in the safety mode with this.
Oh, that is against your
grain.
I
don't play it safe much.
No.
And my Jeep will tell you that.
What Jeep?
My old one.
Yeah.
Oh, my new one's a dandy.
Good.
Oh,
good.
I got a beauty.
Yeah.
Yes. Got lucky. When I met my wife, we were at Ferris. I had just come home from the military, and we're going to Ferris. And my folks go to Arizona every winter. And, you know, I'm a poor college bum living in – I bought this mobile home on 3 acres. It was just bliss. But I was starving. And I didn't eat much back then anyway, but I still had to have food. So my mom called and asked how we were doing. I said, just fine. And she says, well, do you have any food? And Maureen chirped right in and said, no, we don't. We're starving. And she says, well, go to the house. And she told me where, you know, to look. I went down in the cellar, and she's got all these jars of canned food. Well, some of them were canned venison. And I remember how much I liked it, and so I grabbed a couple jars of that. Mm-hmm. Some were barbecue, some were gravy. And I took it home, immediately took it back to the trailer. Immediately, Maureen boiled a bag of egg noodles, and I heated up a jar of that. And we poured that. They were like beef tips over the noodles.
So they're diced cubes?
Yeah, that's how I did. That's how she did it.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, it was heavenly. If you don't like venison, you will love canned venison because it's the best beef tips you've ever had.
Wow.
And she had a gravy with it, and just like Tim's brother said, a little suet. So there's lots of ways you can do it, but I would suggest a little bit of gravy because it'll make its own gravy, but if you throw some gravy in there, it'll multiply. It's magic because as you're canning it, it's going to reduce. So what she used to do was cut it up into cubes, and she would sear it. So throw it on a big skillet and just sear batches of it at a time. And I'm going to tell you to get, depending on the size of your family, the smaller jars. Because when you open it, you want it all gone. I don't like it a jar, a half of something in the fridge because it's just me. And my wife likes to keep a really tidy fridge. So I want to make some small jars and some large jars. But I'm going to...
Like pints and quarts?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm going to sear this with some good EVO and some garlic and salt and pepper. Now I'm going to stuff it. I'm just going to sear it. I'm going to take about a half a jar at a time. Then I'm going to put some curing salts on there and canning salts. And you can use kosher salt, I think, is what I usually use. And that's what I buy in
pickling salt
in bulk.
That too.
You could probably. But halfway up, I'm going to put a nice layer of salt on there. And then when I top it off, I'm going to put more salt in. And then I'm going to put a little bit of beef broth in there or a little bit of gravy. Or I'm going to put some barbecue sauce in there if I want to do it barbecue. So if I'm doing it barbecue, when I do half a jar, I'm going to put that salt on there. I'm going to put a layer of barbecue sauce in there. And then I'm going to fill it up about two-thirds again. And I'm going to put salt down and some barbecue sauce. And I'm going to wipe the lid, put it on there, and I'm going to use a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, everybody has these, the latest, greatest electric ones. Mm-hmm. What do you call them?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. There's a brand
that's real popular that got
Ninja
everybody,
or something.
Got everybody back into using pressure cookers. You can get an old school pressure cooker.
Right.
But I looked in my wife's new
kind where you put the top on and you slide the handles toward each other. And
there's
locks
a bunch
down.
Of different locking
and there's a
mechanisms.
Little thing up there that goes. Pss, 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 pss.
It's a weight. It's a pressure weight.
But your electric cooker
ones do the same thing.
Right.
And I checked my wife's new one out. I was going to go buy a pressure cooker because we had one, but I think we gave it away decades
ago.
Yeah, I'm sure
living with you, Bob, it's just like having one all the time. So it's all good, man.
Yep.
At least that's what Maureen said.
So I'm going to put those in the new fangled, and I'm going to press it 90 minutes on that thing.
Okay. So what you're doing is you're cooking it in a jar, right?
In the jar it cooks. Right. And that's why you want all your ingredients in there. And that's why I like searing it to bring up the flavor a little bit. I might even sear it in some bacon grease because I'm big on that. I see they actually sell purified bacon grease now, and it makes me laugh. Because like
the chunks are the good part.
You don't keep your bacon grease, it's your loss.
Right. All it'll do is clog up your drain, too. You want to get rid of it. You want to keep that.
Save it, because if you're doing burger, look at the winter. I mean, if it's really nasty out in the winter, I'm not going to lie. The older I get, the less I want to go outside in a really bad cold weather to grill. I'm not that thrilled about Michigan winters anymore.
Right.
So I'm going to get
old,
I am. I'm so happy about that. I'm not going to fire up the grill all as much as I do. Now I have a roofed area for it, so it'll be probably a lot better, and I won't be slipping in snow. We'll see how it goes, but there's still plenty of times when I want to get a great big Lodge cast iron fry pan out and put some bacon grease on there and throw a big old steak in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Nothing wrong.
I don't mind that at all.
Right.
And it's okay because, I mean, half the places you get steak and eggs for breakfast, they're throwing that on a griddle.
Oh, sure.
You know, they're not always grilled. But there's something wonderful about the flavor not being smoky. It's just a change of pace,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Because you don't have to always have smoke on everything. But you do. So anyway, I think you can download a million variations on this. I'm just going to tell you that there's a company out there, a fella that's got a website. If you use DuckDuckGo, he's going to be about 9 or 10 entries down the page. And you can tell he likes to eat. And it's some kind of deer hunting site. But he's got a great little a set of ingredients or directions here. He's telling you pints are 90 minutes.
Pints of the meat.
When you're canning yeah. pints,
okay.
90 minutes.
Okay.
So quarts, maybe you have to go a little longer.
Right.
But I'm going to do pints.
Yeah.
Because I love pints. I've had pints like several nights this week.
Right. Yeah. And you're thinking about having some venison. Right?
I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
Because, number one, my freezer is overfilled. And number two, the memory of her and I sitting through the winter starving to death and then opening up those cans of goodness.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. And she has fond memories, too. And she was telling the girls when they're home here that how she cooked up the noodles, and because my two oldest daughters aren't big venison eaters.
Right.
They used to be, but, well, you know.
They've got a discerning palate now that doesn't involve Lowell venison.
Yeah, they get a little uppity as they get older. Maggie actually still likes it, she claims.
Yeah, well, she's got two little girls now, so good luck with convincing that whole family. But Christian's got his work cut out for
Genevieve
him.
Genevieve will eat anything you put in front of her. She is a tank.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, this is going to be the Thanksgiving holidays behind us, but this is my favorite time of year to cook for people. I don't know. I just get together in the holidays, and it's just fun to bring tasty stuff around.
Yeah, and you know, I've got to get another smoker because this is a time of year I really like to smoke. Yeah. I don't want to stand at a grill if it's snowing.
Right.
But now with a covered area, and I can use my Cajun. It does a pretty good job, but I'm looking at smokers right now, so I think I'm going to have to pull the trigger on a smaller something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've got the good one out there at your place, but it's just
I don't want to haul that out of the woods. Yeah, it's too big.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're hoping you're enjoying your holiday season, and stick with us in the weeks to come because we'll give you a bunch of tasty more recipes. But if you are hunting, get in and out of the tree safely.
And don't forget, if you go to Facebook / the Grilling Guys, you can check us out there. I'm on Twitter, and it's Grilling Guy.
All right. We'll talk with you next week.